Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudirayet. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This is Srimad Bhagavatam 4.22. Prithu Maharaj meets with the Kumaras. Text 11. Yeah. And As far as I can tell, in my stupidity, the meter is not divided properly. So the tesh belongs to the second line. Otherwise, it can't make it fall properly. Vyalalaya drumavai. Tesh parikta kila sampada. Yad Grihas Tirtapadiya Pada Tirta Vivarjitaha Bolo Boliye. Yalalaya Drumaspai. Deshvarikta kila sambhara. Ya grihas tirta padhya. Pada tirta vivarjita. Vyalalaya drumabai. Teshvarikta kira sampada. Yagrihas tirta padhya. Para tirta vivarjita. Yalalaya drumabai. Teshvarikta kira sampada. Ladies? Yadanaya Drumavai. Keshvarikta Kila Sampada. Yagrihastirta Padiya. Adatirta Vivarjita. Ladies? Vyalalaya Drumavai. Teshvarikya Sampada. Yadriyasvipadiya. Adatirta Vivarjita. Deshvarikta kila sampada. Yagrihastirta padhya. Padatirta vivarjita. Vyala. Venomous serpents. Alaya. Home. That's a nice word to remember. Vyalalaya, home of venomous snakes. Drumaha. Three. Yeah, Kalpadruma. No? Vai. Certainly. Teshu. In those houses. Arikta. Abundantly. Akila. All. Sampadaha.
Opulences.
Yat.
That.
Grihoho.
Houses.
Tirtha Padiya.
In relation with the feet of great saintly persons.
Padatirtha.
The water which washed their feet.
Vivarjitaha.
Without.
Vyalalaya Dhruma Vai Teshvarikta Kila Sampara Yagrihas Tirtapadiya Padatirta Vibharjitaho.
In Prabhupada's translation. On the contrary, even though full of all opulences and material prosperity, any householder's house where the devotees of the Lord are never allowed to come in, and where there is no water for washing their feet, is to be considered a tree in which all venomous serpents live. So this goes very intimately with the previous verse. And of course, Maharaj Prithu is receiving the Kumaras. He's glorifying them, illuminating them, talking about how it's proper to receive them. So I'll read these two verses together. They fit together, the previous verse that Prabhu spoke about yesterday. A person who is not very rich and is attached to family life becomes highly glorified when saintly persons are present in his home. The master and servants who are engaged in offering the exalted visitors water, a sitting place, and paraphernalia for reception are glorified, and the home itself is also glorified. On the contrary, even though full of all opulence and material prosperity, any householder's house where the devotees of the Lord are never allowed to come in, and where there is no water for washing their feet, is to be considered a tree in which all venomous serpents live. Of its purport. In this verse, the word Tirthapadiya indicates the devotees of Lord Vishnu, Vaishnavas. As far as the Brahmanas are concerned, in the previous verse, the mode of reception has already been described. Now, in this verse, special stress is being given to the Vaishnavas. Generally, the sannyasis, or those in the renounced order of life, take trouble to enlighten the householders. There are Ekadandi sannyasis and Tridandi sannyasis. The Ekadandi sannyasis are generally followers of Shankaracharya, and are known as Mayavadi sannyasis, whereas the Tridandi sannyasis are followers of Vaishnava acharyas, Ramanuja acharya, Madhva acharya, and so on. And they take the trouble to enlighten the householders. Ekadandi sannyasis can be situated on the platform of pure Brahman because they are aware that the spirit soul is different from the body. But they are mainly impersonalists. The Vaishnavas know that the absolute truth is the Supreme Person, and that the Brahman effulgence is based on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:27. Brahmano hi pratistaham. The conclusion is that the Tirthapadaya, that Tirthapadiya refers to the Vaishnavas. In Bhagavatam 1:13:10, there is also another reference to Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. Wherever he goes, a Vaishnava immediately makes that place a Tirtha, a place of pilgrimage. The Vaishnava sannyasis travel all over the world to make every place a place of pilgrimage by the touch of their lotus feet. As it is mentioned here, that any house which does not receive a Vaishnava in the manner already explained in the previous verse is to be considered the residential quarters of venomous serpents. It is said that around the sandalwood tree, which is a very valuable tree, there is a venomous serpent. Sandalwood is very cold,
and venomous serpents, because of their poisonous teeth, are always very warm, and they take shelter of the sandalwood tree to become cooler. Similarly, there are many rich men who keep watchdogs or doormen and put up signs that say, "Do not enter, trespassers not allowed, beware of dog," etc. Sometimes in Western countries, a trespasser is shot and there is no crime in such shooting. This is the position of demoniac householders. And such houses are considered to be the residential quarters of venomous snakes. The members of such families are no better than snakes, because snakes are very much envious. And when that envy is directed to saintly persons, their position becomes more dangerous. It is said by Chanika Pandit that there are two envious living entities, the snake and the envious man. The envious man is more dangerous than a snake, because a snake can be subdued by charming mantras or by some herbs. But an envious person cannot be pacified by any means. So I was trying to think about something to say on these verses. And a very nice class yesterday talking all about proper reception of this. And so I was thinking today I should talk about examples of improper reception, demons, right, like that, so on. So looking through the Prabhupada's books, and there's a story of Romaharshan Sutta, right? And he didn't receive Balaram properly. He didn't stand up. He was proud of his position, his learning, like that. And so then, Balaram killed him. And then there's a story of, more instructive of Daksha. Of course, Daksha, he didn't receive Lord Shiva properly when Daksha was received in the yajna. Daksha went into the yajna and he was received very well and given good position in everybody's consciousness. But he didn't deal with Lord Shiva properly, and he was killed and head cut off like that. So very dangerous, Then later, Daksha, reformed his consciousness and got his head back, got the head of a goat, And after that, he had more children. It's interesting, He had more children with the head of a goat, So he and his wife had more children. And Narada Muni kept converting them all to sannyasis, right? The Haryaspas, the Ilyaspas. He made them all sannyasis like that. And Daksha was, very disturbed by this. So then Narada Muni went to Daksha's house, And of course, Daksha didn't receive him very well. He started chastising him and everything else. And it explains that Narada Muni shouldn't have done that, So this is 1.2, is that, the people who are like venomous snakes, their houses are like, venomous snake pits, places like that, They commit offenses, and then they get chastised and they go to hell, So devotees should avoid acting in such a way that will cause people to commit offenses to Vaishnavas, right? We know these people are going to be offensive to us or to a Vaishnava, so we should not go there because it's going to be bad for them. So we should have enough intelligence, not to cast our pearls before swine, right? Jesus Christ told his preachers when they were going out, "Do not cast your pearls before swine." The ninth offense. It's offensive, to preach the intimate glories of the Lord's holy name to the faithless. So if we go there and start preaching or manifesting ourselves as Vaishnavas and they commit offenses, in some ways it's not their fault. He said, "Do not cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot." Okay, they're going to insult everything you say, criticizing everything you say. He says, and then they will turn upon you. So after they criticize your philosophy, they'll attack you. So ninth offense, So devotees, the other side of the thing is we have to be intelligent enough to not agitate people so they become offensive like that. Yeah. Yeah. But a nice example is that Narada Muni, you know, he went to Daksha's house, and sure enough, Daksha became so angry at seeing him. First, I sent all my sons off to the university to do austerity so they could become lawyers and doctors, and you went there, were preaching to them, and, you know, hey guys, look at these pictures, you know, ever seen these books, you know, hey, great, you know. So Daksha made them all into devotees, you know, they're all brahmacharis, you know, that Daksha, Narada. Then Daksha was so disturbed, okay, he and Mrs. Daksha had more children, and when they were old enough, they sent them off to do austerities also, you know, go to the university also to become, do austerities, to become good grihasthas, you know. Then Narada Muni came again and said, hey, come here, you know, your older brothers bought these books for me, take a look. Yeah, oh, wow, you know. They don't tell us that in the school. Yeah, take a few. You know. Okay, so then Daksha heard this and he passed out. I guess Mrs. Daksha also passed out. I don't know. Yeah, you know, it's terrible, you know. So then Narada Muni went there or something. This is kind of like, what's the word, like, you know, in some ways, the most stupid thing you can do. You've got some rich guy, often you converted two of his sons to become devotees and move into the temple, and you go knock on the guy's door and say, hey, Hare Krishna. So, and sure enough, Daksha started blaspheming Narada Muni, you know. You're a false renunciate, everything else, all. Had his logic, had his ideas, you know. It wasn't like, in some ways he was confused, you know, about what reality was. But it says that Narada Muni, why did Narada Muni go there? Anybody know? Because he knew that Daksha was a very pious person. Yes, very, very subtle. Hansaduda told us that every single psychological circumstance you can encounter is in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Daksha's a very special guy. He's offensive, but he's not sinful. You know? Very pious. A lot of pious credits. You know? Austerities. You know? Worshipping Vishnu. You know? And so when Narada Muni went there, Narada Muni knew, okay, he's going to become angry at me. Let him get it off his chest. Okay, this and that. When he does, and that's what happened, then he felt really bad about what he'd done. Here I'm, a semi-person has come to my door, and I started insulting the guy and everything else, and I could have at least, you know, kept my mouth shut and washed his feet and sent him on his way, but I started like acting like a complete, you know, low-class person, and he apologized, Narada, I'm really sorry for what I said. What you did wasn't right, you know. So then he could hear. You know, then Narada Muni knew he would feel bad, and he would apologize, and then he would be able to hear. And then Narada explained to him that he didn't do a bad thing. It was a good thing that his sons weren't just artificially taking sannyas. They had actually come to full understanding of Grihastha Ashram. Daksha's point was that first you have to go through Grihastha Ashram to experience that it's not a nice thing. Like that, you know, once you go through it, then you come to the conclusion, not going to do that again. Okay, you know. If I take birth again, this is what Hansaduda said, if I take birth again, there's two things I won't do. I won't get married, and I won't go to school. Yeah. Hiranyakasipu tried to kill Prahlad by chopping him little pieces, burning him in oil, having elephants run back and forth over him, everything he could. It didn't work, so then he tried to send him to school. You know, this will, you know, the most demoniac thing, you know. Prabhupada calls it a slaughterhouse, no? Yeah. So, you know, so then you learn something. Okay, so that was Daksha's point. You should go through this whole, you know, Varnashram system, and then you can take sannyas. So he was kind of a sophisticated guy, you know. But then Narada Muni explained that you don't have to go through the Varnashram system if you really can get the essence of the thing in Brahmacharya Ashram like that. But we see the Bhagavatam, sometimes it happens, right? But many times it doesn't happen. And so it's very natural. Devahuti and Kardama Muni, it's very natural that people go through it. You know, but one more time. Let's see how. Me, Tarzan, you, Jane, him, Chita. Okay, here we go. One more time. Okay. Then finally we realize we are all Chita. And Tarzan and Jane are on the altar. Like that, okay, you know. Become happy like that. You know. So Daksha is one nice example of like Now, how not to receive people in your house like that. And again, there's different results, there's different activities. Another one here that came to mind was one story from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila, chapter 3, text 94, The Glories of Haridas Thakur, which is this, which story? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu derives great pleasure glorifying his devotees, and among the devotees, Haridas Thakur is the foremost. Jai, Haridas Thakur ki jai. The transcendental qualities of Haridas Thakur are innumerable and unfathomable. One may describe a portion of them, but to count them all is impossible. In the Chaitanya Mangala, Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur has described the attributes of Haridas Thakur to some extent. No one can describe all the qualities of Haridas Thakur. One may say something about them, but just to purify himself. O devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please hear something about the qualities of Haridas Thakur that Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur has not described. After leaving his home, Haridas Thakur stayed for some time in the forest of Benapola. Haridas Thakur constructed a cottage in a solitary forest. There he planted a tulsi plant, and in front of the tulsi, he would chant the holy name of the Lord 300,000 times a day. He chanted throughout the entire day and night. Yeah? For his bodily maintenance, he would go to a brahmana's house and beg some food. He was spiritually so influential that the neighboring people worshipped him. So in the purport, Prabhupada talks about this. Like Prabhu was saying yesterday about how, no, we go to people's houses, right? And they receive us, and they give us charity. They ask us to take food like that. So Prabhupada was saying that, yeah, but we shouldn't go anywhere and everywhere. Avishayira anakoila hoya dushtaman. Because if we eat food cooked by grains, cooked by karmis, even if they're not, if they're vegetarian, he says our smarnam will be disturbed. Right? It may not be that you eat, you know, grains cooked by a meat eater, and suddenly you have this desire to go out and kill dogs or something like that. You know, you start walking around Mayapur looking at the dogs. Like, maybe it'll happen, but most likely it's not like that. You eat the grains cooked by somebody who's eating meat. Like that. And then, you know, your smarnam is disturbed. You're still chanting your rounds, you're still following the principles, but you can't, like, get into it, you know? It starts becoming dull, like that. So watch the symptoms, you know, like that. So I know several devotees, they look at the package and the cookies or something like that. No meat, no fish or eggs. Yeah, but who cooked it, you know? And it's a subtle reaction like that. Vishayira anakoila hoya dustaman. The mind becomes wicked. So in the purport, Prabhupada says that therefore a devotee should eat in the house of a Vaishnava or a Brahmana. And Brahmanas offer everything to Shalagram Shila, like that. But of course in Bengal, some Brahmanas eat fish, right? Right, yeah, regularly, yeah. And so then, well, should we take, you know, offer the food to our deity or not? You know, should we take it or not? Devotees who are preaching here and traveling probably have this consideration in great detail about what to do, what not to do, like that. You know? So myself too, I was thinking, what to do? Should I not do this, this and that? And we're staying in one house, and they wanted to cook for us. Lady takes a complete bath before. They buy new cooking pots, but they eat fish, you know, like that, you know, so on. And they're kind of innocent. They don't think it's wicked. They think it's just kind of what Bengalis do. We don't eat it normally, but when we go out, this and that. Okay, you know. But everything we cook is offered to the Shalagram Shila. Okay. So I was thinking, well, the Shila hasn't cracked. The Shila hasn't killed them all. So okay. Okay, so we'll take maybe some grains in the house one time, like that. Okay, but after that, we ask for Solamente, oh, it's in Spanish. Only Ekadasi prasad. We'll take in the house if you cook potatoes and peanuts and yogurt and vegetables for us. Okay, you still feel some reaction, you know, but That's what preaching means. You know, preaching means going out and giving your mercy to people who are sincere, like that. You know? Other than that, you say Hari Bol and let, you know, Durga Devi take care of them, like that. You know? It's a very subtle thing about, you know, being received by people and acting properly, the relationship. Very powerful, very big part of our whole Sankirtan movement. So he was taking food from the house of Brahmanas who worship Shaligram Shila. Then it says, a landholder named Ramachandra Khan was the zamindar of that district. He was envious of Vaishnavas and was therefore a great atheist. Unable to tolerate that such respect was being offered to Haridas Thakur, Ramachandra Khan planned in various ways to dishonor him. By no means could he find any fault in the character of Haridas Thakur. Therefore, he called for local prostitutes and began a plan to discredit his holiness. Ramachandra Khan said to the prostitutes, there is a mendicant named Haridas Thakur. All of you devise a way to deviate him from his vows of austerity. Among the prostitutes, one attractive young girl was selected. She said, I shall attract the mind of Haridas Thakur within 3 days. So she went to Haridas, she dressed very nicely, went to Haridas Thakur's place, and after offering obeisances to the Tulsi plant, she went to the door of Haridas Thakur and offered him obeisances and stood there. Then it says, she said, O great preacher, O great renunciate, like that, you know, great personality, you are so beautiful and everything else, and I desire to have a child by you, or something like this and that. And she exposed part of her body like this and that. You know. And Haridas Thakur said, I shall accept you without fail. But you'll have to wait until I finish chanting my regular rounds on my beads, like that. Of course, he didn't tell her he was chanting 300,000 yeah. Until that time, please sit down and listen to the chanting of the holy name. As soon as I am finished, I shall fulfill your desires. So this went on for like 3 nights. He never finished his chanting. And she, when the light came up in the daytime, she left, like that, you know. So she had some pious activity. And Papa says that because she paid obeisances to Tulsi, and because she wasn't trying to do these things during the daytime, like that, you know, she had some kind of position where the holy names could work. And she would hear the chanting like this and that, and she was, you know, just sitting there bored in some ways. So she also began to chant. In some ways she was trying to like attract Haridas Thakur's mind by chanting in a, you know, kind of teasing way, you know, Hari, Hari, like that. But the name works, you know. Yeah. The night ended, the third night, I think, while Haridas Thakur was chanting, but by his association, the mind of the prostitute had changed. The prostitute, now purified, fell at the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur and confessed that Ramachandra Khan had appointed her to pollute him. Because I have taken the profession of a prostitute, I have performed unlimited sinful acts. My Lord, please be merciful to me and deliver my fallen soul. I know everything about, Haridas Thakur said, I know everything about the conspiracy of Ramachandra Khan. He is nothing but an ignorant fool. Therefore, his activities do not make me unhappy. Yeah. On the very day Ramachandra Khan was planning his intrigue against me, I would have left this place immediately. But because you came to me, I stayed here for 3 days to deliver you. So again, it's complicated. He understands, don't let this guy commit offenses. I'm not going to be bothered by it. But why should I agitate all these things? You know? Mullah Nasruddin, a great Muslim character, historical character. Actually, the story of the scholar and the boatman is a Mullah Nasruddin story, like the Prabhu quotes, you know. He says, one should not engage in an argument with a fool because people may have a hard time distinguishing which one of you is the fool. Yeah. ever had that experience? Yeah. So, you know, Thakur Haridas is not engaging in this association with Ramachandra Khan like that. You know, avoid it. You know, don't let him commit offenses to me like that. You know, so many things. You know, don't let me become confused maybe by associating with this idiot. You know? Yeah, and this is where he is. I can't help him. But, okay, this one of his associates, I can help her. Okay, so this, that, okay. I'll stay and chant. Yeah. I stayed here for 3 days to deliver you. The prostitute said, kindly act as my spiritual master. Instruct me in my duty by which I can get relief from material existence. Haridas Thakur replied, immediately go home and distribute to the brahmanas and whatever property you have. Huh? Then come back to this room and stay here forever in Krishna consciousness. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra continuously and render service to Tulasi by watering her and offering prayers to her. And this way you will very soon get the opportunity to be sheltered at the lotus feet of Krishna. Yeah. After thus instructing the prostitute, Haridas Thakur stood up and left, chanting Hari, Hari. Yeah. So she followed his instructions. She shaved her head, chanted 300,000 times a day the Maha Mantra, worshipped Tulsi. And whatever food she got by charity, she chewed that and ate it, even if I guess it was uncooked grains. Yeah. And if there was no food, she just would to chant. Thus by eating frugally and fasting, she conquered her senses. And as soon as her senses were controlled, symptoms of love of Godhead appeared in her person. Thus she became a celebrated devotee, and became very advanced in spiritual life. And many Vaishnavas would come to see her. Yeah. Seeing her sublime character, everyone glorified Haridas Thakur. By inducing a prostitute to disturb Haridas Thakur, Ramachandra Khan caused a seed of offense at Haridas Thakur's lotus feet to germinate. The seed later became a tree, and when it fructified, Ramachandra Khan ate the fruit. This offense at the lotus feet of an exalted devotee has resulted in a wonderful narration. Taking advantage of the opportunity afforded by this incident, I shall explain what happened. O devotees, please listen. Ramachandra Khan was naturally a non-devotee. Now having offended the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur, he became just like a demoniac atheist. Demoniac atheist. Wow. So he's gone from being like a non-devotee to a demoniac atheist. Because of blaspheming the cult of Vaishnavism and insulting the devotees for a long time, he now received the results of his offensive acts. When Lord Nityananda returned to Bengal to preach the cult of bhakti, love of Godhead, he began touring all over the country for two purposes, to spread the cult of bhakti and to defeat and subdue the atheists. Lord Nityananda, the most dedicated devotee of the Lord, moved throughout the country. So we go to people's houses, you know, for these two purposes, right? To spread bhakti, but also to defeat and subdue the atheists. Lord Nityananda, who is omniscient because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, came to the house of Ramachandra Khan and sat down on the altar of the Durga Mandap. So Prabhupada says in Bengal, many rich people have a mandap, an area in front of the house for worshipping Durga Devi. And usually during the festival of Durga Devi, is it Dashara? They have a nice festival there like that. So Ramachandra Khan, probably to keep up with the Joneses, had a Durga Mandap in front of his house. When the Durga Mandap and courtyard became filled with crowds of men, Ramachandra Khan, who was inside the house, sent his servant to Lord Nityananda. He didn't even come out himself. He sent one low-class servant to go out. Probably low-class. The servant informed Lord Nityananda, my dear sir, Ramachandra Khan has sent me to accommodate you in some common man's house. You might go to the house of a milkman, like that, yes. For the cowshed is a spacious place. whereas the space here in the Durga Mandap is insufficient because you have so many followers with you. When go sit down in the cow dung. Of course, different words might be used like that. You know, go sit down in the cow excrement. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu heard this order from the servant of Ramachandra Khan, he became very angry and came out laughing very loudly. He spoke as follows: Ramachandra Khan has spoken rightly. This place is unfit for me. It is fit for cow-eating meat-eaters, cow-killing meat-eaters. Having said this, Lord Nityananda stood up and left in an angry mood. To chastise Ramachandra Khan, he did not even stay in the village. Wow. At this point, if anybody's intelligent in the village, they would have packed up their possessions and got out of town as quick as they could. Yeah. Yeah. Ramachandra Khan ordered the servant to dig up the dirt in the place where Nityananda Prabhu had sat. Yeah. To purify the Durga Mandap and the courtyard, Ramachandra Khan sprinkled and smeared it with water mixed with cow dung. But still, his mind was unsatisfied. Ramachandra Khan's business was questionable, for he tried to avoid paying income tax. Therefore, the government's minister of finance was angry and came to his residence. The Muslim minister made his residence in the Durga Mandap of Ramachandra Khan. He killed a cow and cooked the meat at that very place. He arrested Ramachandra Khan along with his wife and sons, and then he continuously plundered the house and the village for 3 days. In that very room, he cooked the flesh of a cow for 3 consecutive days. Then next day he left, accompanied by his followers. The minister took away Ramachandra Khan's position, wealth, and followers. Yeah. For many days, the village remained deserted. Wherever an advanced devotee is insulted, for one man's fault, the entire town or place is afflicted. So again, if we see these things happening, we shouldn't just think, oh, this guy is not giving proper reception to devotees. This is going on. We should get out. Leave. Even if you stay in that location, it's not good like that. Yeah, get out. So it's a very nice example, you know, of places like venomous serpents and different causes. Ramachandra Khan, I can't think of like anybody, you know, Daksha is kind of like somebody with mixed position, and he, you know, apologizes and he gets the preaching from a devotee. But Ramachandra Khan is like example of somebody who's, you know, evil in every single possible way imaginable, like that. You know? And I think it says that actually his family was carried away. His wife and children were all in iron chains, you know, on their ankles and hands, and carried off like that to suffer, you know. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, of course, it's all good. So this has a good result also too, like that. You know? So only one last point, though, kind of thinking about here, was that because, you know, Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhava Tume, O Lord of the Universe, kindly be present on the pathway of my vision. So it's also described that it's offensive if we don't feel happy when we see a Vaishnava like that, you know. So we should not only, you know, give reception to people in our houses and things like that. And of course, if you're a brahmacharya or sannyasi, you don't have a house so much. And it's like, not that. But we're receiving people in our vision, in our minds, like that. So even that level, we should have like a, in a positive attitude towards people, and Vaishnavas and devotees, you know. And if we don't have it, then we should correct that mentality, because that will actually, you know, have a, again, maybe our smarana will be disturbed like that. You know? So for that reason, it's not recommended that people move into the temple or live in the temple or come to the holy dham until they're at a certain level of development. Otherwise, they'll commit so many offenses like that. You know? You know? And the dham will protect itself, cover itself. And so I was in one building here, where it was many years ago, and there was one book where VIPs wrote down like their experiences when they came to Srinath Mayapur. And it was like members of parliament, so many people, they wrote down like that, you know, somebody had given the book to them. In so many places, the thing was, they said, got some peace here. Such a peaceful place. Have to come again. Relief from all the problems in Calcutta. You know? So they were appreciating that, how it's clean, nobody smokes, people are friendly, nobody's talking about politics. You know? And this movie star is, you know, visiting that movie star. No, you know, some peace. So different people get different things. You know? And so we don't commit offenses, then Maya covers us, so we don't see the Vaishnavas. We don't see their qualities, because we're offensive. You know? Yeah. One offense is offense of the body. Was that? And, that's Vishnu. No, Brigamuni was offensive to Vishnu in the superlative. He kicked him in the chest. Like that. And he was offensive to, Lord Shiva? Like with his words? With words, yeah. And Lord Brahma, he was offensive with his mind. Yeah, just the brain, just the mind. Yeah, and that could be detected by lack of proper words. Yeah, if somebody's offensive in their mind, well, how do we know? Yeah, because they're not saying the right things. Yeah, not saying the right things. Yeah. Hanuman, Vibhishana came looking for reception from Ram. He wanted to be received as a member. And everybody was telling Ram, don't accept him, he's a Rakshasa, this and that, maybe he's lying, everything else. And then Ram asked Hanuman, and Hanuman said, he defended me when I was there, he fought against his own family members, and I've examined him very carefully, and I can't see any offense or fault or duplicity in his character. And he said, it's impossible to completely hide offensive mentality from your face or your words, like that. You know, somebody who's intelligent, they can see like that. You know, so the offenses of the mind are there in lack of proper saying the proper things like that. You know, if we have a bad mentality to Vaishnavas, we don't want it. Okay, how do we change that? By helping them with their service. You look and see what is this devotee's service like that and stuff. And okay, Prabhu, can I help you carry the flowers into the temple? Yeah, like that. You know. If we do that, that will make our mind change. You know? So bhakti yoga, vaidhi bhakti, is how to use the senses. It's very nice. You can just use your senses. And even though your mind and stuff is uncontrollable, you don't have to control your mind. Control your senses. You know? Okay, you can just offer some nice words. You know? Prabhupada says a nectar of instruction. A very, very sublime example of dadati, patagrinati, giving charity, is giving the holy names. So you can always just chant Hare Krishna to people and giving charity. And that will change your mind towards people like that. You can see how the people respond if they turn their head and spit, holy name. Okay. But probably most of people in Sudan, Mayapur, won't do that. You know, when you say Hare Krishna, they'll probably, you know. You see, many of the guests are wearing ordinary clothes. You say Hare Krishna. So then by that we change our attitude towards people. And with that attitude, you know, receiving them properly in our heart, and then our heart will change. And we'll have a fit place then to appreciate Krishna and meditate like that properly. Because it has to come to smaranam. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishno, smaranam. If you perfect shravanam, hearing, then you can start to explain things, you know, kirtanam. And if you perfect explaining things, then you can start to contemplate what you're explaining like that, smaranam. And when you perfect the smaranam, no more punarjanma. That's it. So our kirtan has to come to a point of contemplation, meditation on it, what we're talking about, what we're hearing like that. So that's kind of some thoughts about this. And of course, this is all because Prithu Maharaj is receiving the Kumaras properly. So any comments, questions? Any time stopping? Okay. So Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna mantra ki. Okay, well, we can, afterwards, we'll discuss, we can talk. Like that. We'll be here afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody has to go, please go. It's already time to stop the class. Yeah. Yeah.
I find it, we were talking about if we don't, if we see a Vaishnava, we're not
I do remember recently I heard a class, there's two things you should remember and two things you should forget. You should forget when others do something wrong to you. And then even just the other day, Mahatma was quoting Srila Prabhupada saying, don't get upset, the instrument of your karma. But I was living in a large community and things happen. And I was like sometimes you're not happy to see somebody because like they stole money from you. Like that. And so it's like that happened to me. And so it's very difficult for me if I see Prabhu, I'm not happy to see him. I actually try and like I go to the other aisle of the store, you know? And so I'm being not okay, huh?
No, because you know, Upadeshamrita is a summary. Upadeshamrita. Upadeshamrita is a summary of everything. So he describes how to associate with Vaishnavas. Krishneti yasya girita manasadriyata. So it's a Vaishnava. They're chanting Hare Krishna. They come. They do. Okay, all right. Yeah, okay. But a third class devotee, who's a materialistic devotee, okay, if they want to change their character, they want, they're willing to accept instructions from the scriptures, you know, pure devotees, that much, okay, then we should undergo the austerity of like, you know, associating with them like that, you know. Maybe if something's gone on improperly, then we understand the austerity of kind of looking at them and say, they look back at us and they say, what about that money and this and that, you know. Well, I don't know. You owed it to me. I had a right to steal it. And okay, it's austerity to deal with them and try and straighten these things out. Talk about it and like that stuff. And so that, you know. But if they don't want, not in that level, and they don't want to hear from what the scriptures say, they don't want to hear what anything else says like that, then we should have a respectful mentality. You know, they're devotees, but we shouldn't associate with them like that and so on. You know?
Yeah. When I see them.
So we don't associate with them like that. We avoid it. So we don't become angry. We don't become unhappy. We just don't look at them.
Okay, so go to the aisle.
Yeah.
Because the injunction is that to not
be happy to see a Vaishnav, you know, is not okay.
Yeah, if you're not happy. So, you know, so yeah, we should keep the mentality that they're devotees. They are devotees like that. You know, yeah. They are devotees, you know, and they stole my money. Okay, they used it for Krishna. Yeah. Yeah. Haribo. And you know, nobody's without guilt. And so, you know, I lost the money. Hey, why? Because I'm such a great person. No, I mean, I probably did the same thing. I know one devotee was a thief. You know, yeah, he got his money stolen. And he said it was such a, he suffered so much, he said he never could rob again. He said in his heart he could see that he still had a little desire that if things get tough, I can still, you know, steal from a few rich guys who don't need it. But after being robbed like that, he said it caused so much pain that he saw what it does to other people. He hadn't fully realized it, you know. So we look at it like that. Okay, you know, then I'm not completely innocent here too, and if Krishna allowed the money to be stolen, and I've tried my best to take care of it and deal with it, okay, like that. And the devotees, okay, they used it for Krishna, and it'll come back, you know, whatever I need, it's okay. Hare Bol and Hare Krishna. But we're always enthusiastic, trying to correct the situation so we can feel good about people, like that. And we'll see if we try it, Krishna helps. You know, I mean, have been different difficult situations with devotees and just, you know, even crying, you know, oh wow, such psychological distress, you know, and so I'm just going out, chanting Hare Krishna, okay. Intelligence gets rectified, go back and deal with the situation, have a good attitude towards the person like this and that. And I saw that Krishna also dealt with it. You know, Krishna had them fall off the roof, it's right afterwards or something. No, almost something like that. And they apologized because they thought, well, that, because I did that or something. You know, somebody's stolen some money from you and they come over and they apologize. What's this and that happened? You understand, you heard that They got robbed, you know, 2 days ago after robbing you. And so, oh, okay, you know. It happens. You know, Krishna takes care of the thing. Like that, okay. Yeah, it's okay. So, I don't know. Other questions? Yes.
The intelligence to know whom avoid.
Okay, sorry.
Because sometimes when we approach on the street some person wrong way,
yeah,
then they make offenses, but it's not necessary that they are demoniac atheists. So how to develop this intelligence to approach the right way, anybody?
Some intelligence is already there. Like you can see different kinds of people, and you got some intelligence about who's good to approach, who's not good to approach, you know, like that. If somebody's engaged in doing something important to them, you don't go up and say, hey, come here, stop that. You know, don't wait until they're finished, you know, disturb them doing something important like this and that, you know? Hey, you know, don't talk to your wife. Come here, talk to me. You know? No. So we already have some intelligence, so we should use that. That's one way, you know. Another thing is that, you know, Tesham Eva Nukampartam, Krishna's in our heart, and so we should try and just be sensitive to our intuition and guidance like that. You know? We can associate with other devotees who are more experienced, you know, and by the association we can see how they deal with people like that, you know. And then gradually it's just a matter of experience, you know. You just have to go out and do it, and by doing it you learn. You know, that's one of the fastest ways to learn how to do things is by doing it. Try and do it properly. And you see, you know. You know, for example, when you approach somebody in the street, you smile at them first, you know, like that. If they smile back, okay. You know, yeah, you know. And you go, and so many things you start to learn subtly. Whatever service you're doing, you know, in terms of approaching people and preaching, there's different ways to do it. And so on the street, it's one way, and university is something else, and somebody's, you know, home programs or something else, like that, with family members, you know. So it's a matter of just experience. There's no magic bullet or pill that you can take and know everything. Because you just have to go out and do it. And that's why it says that we should associate with experienced devotees and ask them questions and understand things, you know. But then we have to do it ourselves because everybody is different. So everybody has to develop their own techniques for taking these things like that, you know. Like a doctor has to be very careful when he's dealing with sick people and not to become infected himself, right? So he has so many things. He just looks at somebody, you know, the person is like a walking cadaver. He knows this guy's not healthy. You know, his health, his comportment, his breathing, like that, you know. Yeah. Okay, then he says, stick out your tongue, like that, you know. Let me see your eyes, let me feel the pulse, like that, you know. So we have to learn the ways of taking the samples without getting hurt. Madhya Madhikari is expert at avoiding demoniac situations. So we have to learn how to take the pulse, you know, without causing offenses to them and without being hurt ourselves, you know, like that. So just do it. Talk to older devotees, you know, and use whatever the intelligence of super souls give it. Okay. So Prabhupada ki. Arigrasamamantra ki. Daksha ki.